Hello and welcome back to Becoming Mom and Dad. We are here with Gemma. She's going to be taking part in the episode today because, you know, where else would she go? But we hope everyone's having a good day and we will jump into it.
Yep, so we are on 8 weeks old. She is growing very fast. She will be 2 months old on Wednesday of this week, and she also has her two-month-old doctor's appointment this Wednesday. So we have a pretty big week in store for Gemma. And I will say, I think she might be going through a two-month sleep regression that at the current moment because she, for the last couple of days, has not wanted to nap very easily, and she's just been awake, like, all the time. And she wants to nap, like, maybe for 30 minutes at a time, which for her is pretty abnormal. She normally naps about 2 hours, and then, you know, will be awake for an hour, and then go back down for two more until bedtime, which she sleeps for about 10 usually. But all of her naps have been pretty short this week, and it kind of started on Thursday and kind of went up until Saturday. And so far today, she's been better, but we'll see.
And she's been driving Mom insane.
Yeah, because I'm home alone with her Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday night. And all the times she was just wide awake and she wasn't fussy. So I guess I need to count my blessings on that one because she's not crying. It's just that she literally is just awake, and so I can't like get anything done around the house, do anything for myself, take a shower, whatever, because normally when she's napping, that's when I do all that stuff, and I just haven't been able to do that. So it is what it is. But she has been a really good baby. She got fussy this morning after about an hour of being awake, and she just woke up from her little 1 hour nap, so she might honestly go back to sleep pretty soon just because she didn't take a full nap. So we'll see.
Yeah, I know it's been kind of hard on Kaylee with the last couple of days with it. And I feel bad because it's like I'm at work and I can't really do anything. And she'll be like texting me like, Gemma won't go to sleep. I put her down and she woke right back up. And like, I can't do anything. I'm just sitting here like with her, like watching TV, like can't do anything else. And I'm just like, well, I'm sorry. Like, I guess like I kind of like gotten good, which is surprising because I wasn't originally at the very beginning, but now I've gotten to the point where it's like when I'm home, if she's not napping or anything like that, like I'm pretty chill with just going with the flow and sitting with her and watching a show. Like it doesn't really bother me. I haven't been like, oh, I wanted to do this or that and now I can't. But I think Kaylee's having a harder time doing that sometimes.
It's more that I'm a planner, and so trying to think like, oh, I'm going to do like dinner at this time or whatever, and then not being able to do that is just kind of wild. So I don't really know like what that's about. It's just kind of like having to go and do everything as she lets me. So
and now she's getting a little fussy in my arms here, so hopefully this she doesn't get too much louder.
She probably wants to go back to sleep. She looks pretty tired.
Well, she's not allowed now. She's part of the podcast.
You have to be able to just go with the flow. And I feel like part of that is learning your baby's awake cues and like asleep cues and hungry cues and just following them, because that will keep them less fussy overall, which makes putting them down for naps and stuff easier. So as far as like sleepy cues, the first thing I noticed with Gemma is that she'll just like stare off into space, and then she'll rub her eyes, her eyebrows get red, whatever.
And
that's
yawns.
Well, yawning is like supposed to be a late cue. Like that's like you're pushing it. But the best thing to do is lay them down awake and comfort them. Help them get to sleep on their own. And then after that, like their hungry cues, the first thing she does is kind of suck on her hands and start sticking her tongue out, and then they'll smack their lips. And then of course, like she pretty quickly, once she gets hungry, decides she's going to cry. So,
and you always know, like, I mean, even I can like distinguish the difference between like just a fussy cry and like a hungry cry. Like it's like you'll, after like a few couple weeks, you'll know when it's a hungry
cry.
So
it's gonna sound weird, but like a hungry cry for most babies starts with like an N sound instead of like a wah sound, like a W. It's more of like a nyah sound, which is weird, but that's kind of like the difference. And then like their sleepy cry is more of like a sound. I don't really know how to explain it, but there's little diagrams you can look up of the different cries and like kind of how the babies enunciate them. And I know like a meh cry is more of like she's uncomfortable in whatever position she's in. So it just depends. But like you can learn them, and for each baby they're different too. But we learned her hungry cry pretty quickly after that first night where like we were trying to feed her on like a 3 hour mark schedule, and then she just kept getting fussy. We finally realized like, oh, she's just hungry. This is her hungry cry. Whatever. And then now we know it. So
the one thing I've noticed is like she seems to be going through a sleep regression, but like I feel like in the past when we've dealt with this, she's also cluster fed, and I feel like she hasn't really been like cluster feeding lately.
That's because cluster feeding is more tied with growth spurts. Like growth spurts, their sleep and feeding is disrupted, but like when it's a sleep regression, it's more of like they're just their sleep patterns are affected. Like they're not napping for as long, or they're just in general more fussy and not easy to go to sleep, which she's been like easy to go to sleep. Okay, actually, I take that back. That's a lie. Some days for naps, she's easier to go to sleep and then wakes up. And then some days it's really hard to get her to sleep. And then it's like, I feel like she gets to sleep and then she just wakes up anyways.
So. Like now, like last night, she did really good overnight sleeping.
And the night before she did good too.
Yes.
Thursday night was rough.
Thursday night was rough. And then like in my head, it's like when we've been like taking turns now during the night, getting up and soothing her when she gets upset. And in my head, like with being like half asleep whenever I wake up, sometimes like I'll get up in the morning and I'm like, man, I feel like I got up like 10 times last night checking on her. And then Kaylee's like, it was only twice. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. No, we say rough as in like she's getting up every 5 minutes. When we say rough, we mean we had to get our little butts out of the bed like more than 2 times.
Yeah.
So it really isn't even that bad.
The best part is when you get up and go soothe her, and then as soon as you walk out and go back into the bed, you immediately hear crying on the baby monitor, and you're like, oh man, you just gotta get straight back up.
I don't know
again.
Like it's, I don't mind getting up only because when I do get back in bed, it's almost like that feeling like, you know, like when you were like younger and you'd wake up in the middle of the night and it'd be like 3 a.m. and you're like, oh my god, I still have like 3 more hours before I have to get up
when school. I was younger, I still do that.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is like I don't really do that now because I always sleep through the night. I don't really wake up in the middle of the night like that. And so like with having a baby, it's like you get that same sensation, like you'll go in the room and check on her, you're like, what time is it? And then you'll look and it's like 3 o'clock and you're like, oh yeah, I still have like 4 more hours to go to sleep. And then like when I lay down, I usually fall back asleep pretty quickly unless she's like still fussy. So.
And then on Sundays, I always sneak in another like hour or two after I wake up. I'll get up at 7 and feed her and then I go back to bed because Sunday is like the only day I can sleep in a little bit.
It's the only day I can sleep in a little bit, and I still don't get to sleep in. So you might as well just retract that statement.
Yikes.
We're going to have to start alternating on Sunday because we both have to get up at 7 a.m. every day for work. And now I'm honestly getting home, other than the weekend nights, I'm getting home around the same time he does now, maybe like 30 minutes to an hour before, not even sometimes. But on Sundays is usually the day we'd sleep in, but like, we're trying to do, like, you can't expect her to go back to sleep. Like, when she's been asleep since 9 p.m. and she wakes up at 7, you know, what we used to do when I was on maternity leave is whenever she would get up, we would try to get her to go kind of go back to sleep for a little bit. That way I could sleep in a little bit longer because, like, usually the nights were a lot rougher, like, back then when she was younger. So we could usually get her back down to sleep for another hour or two after she fed at 7. But now it's like, she doesn't want to do that. Like when you've had a baby sleeping for 10 hours, when they wake up, they're awake. Like they do not want to go back to sleep. So basically on Sundays, he gets to go back to bed after he feeds her. But then I still have to get up and sit with her for an hour. And then I'm just like, by that point, like by the time the hour's over, I'm awake. So there's no point in going back to bed.
Well, now you're just making me look bad.
Well, I'm just saying. I was actually thinking last night, I'm like, I need to talk to him about how Sundays are going to work. Because I don't think it's fair that like I never get to sleep in and he does like every Sunday, so because it's been like that for like the past few Sundays now. But
we'll work on it.
We'll see. Honestly, I think that getting up in the middle of the night is harder for me than it is for you, and getting up early is harder for you than it is for me. Like, I feel like you can get up in the middle of the night and go back to sleep easier than I can. Like if I'm just going to give her pacifier, it's one thing. But, like, when I have to, like, get up and actually feed her and all that, and then my mind, like, wakes up, it's really hard for me to go back to sleep. Like, at 3 and 4 in the morning, where I feel like on Thursday night when you fed her in the middle of the night, you went and fed her at, like, 5, and then you came back and, like, passed back out. Like,
yeah.
I can't do that. And then, like, for you, it's, like, I feel like you'd almost rather, you know, get to sleep in if it meant you had to wake up in the middle of the night versus me where it's like, I'd rather sleep straight through, even if that means I have to get up a little bit earlier. So maybe we just need to do that. Like, you get in the middle of the night. You do all the middle of the night stuff, and I wake up early.
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. I'll sacrifice sleeping in on Sundays.
I will say I'm starting to understand, like, you always see the stuff on social media where it's like, oh, like, I used to stay up late, and then, like, now that I'm older, or, like, now that I'm a dad, like, I'm going, my bedtime's, like, 8 o'clock now, and I kind of get that, even though I'm not going to bed at 8 o'clock, but I have been more, like, aware of, like, oh, I'm probably going to go to bed earlier than I would have normally gone to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that only because I know she's going to wake up, and I know she's going to wake us up, so it's, like, I'd rather sleep when I can, so.
That's, like, the funny thing is, like, last night, I stayed up pretty late. I stayed up till like 2 because I, you know, before her, I would stay up that late on Saturday nights because I didn't have work on Sundays. And it's like when I'm sitting there now and I'm trying to stay up late, I'll look at the clock and it's almost like I feel like I'm playing like a roulette game because like she'll be asleep and I'll have the monitor with me and I'm like, man, I'm testing it because I could decide to stay up late and go to bed at like 2 and then she could just wake up all of a sudden and then I'm up even later, so it's like it's always kind of like a risk or like a gamble to sit there and try and stay up
the later. Way I look at it is like literally since high school I've been a person that can vibe off of like even sometimes 5 hours of sleep and be fine. Like in high school I did that. I would stay up to like 2 or 3 in the morning and then get up at like 6 or whatever it was, like sometimes. And then like in college I was always so busy with like sorority stuff and homework and work and stuff like that in general. So I mean sometimes I wouldn't even leave work until 11 and then like I have to do homework and stuff. And like when we did our performance practices for our sorority stuff, I mean we'd be out in the parking garages till 1 in the morning. So I mean, and then I have to be up for work at 5, so it's like I've always kind of been like that. And then even like with when I was waitressing, like I would stay up late and then have to get up at 5 to go to work, so it's like I'm kind of used to being able to run off of no sleep. So honestly, like, it doesn't, like, none of this has really affected me in, like, a deep way. Like, as long as I try to be in bed, like, I usually honestly try to get in bed between somewhere between 10:30 and 11. And, like, sometimes I'll be like, screw it, I'm staying up till I know at least 11. And then, like, some nights, like last night, I was like, I'm just going to stay up till midnight, I don't care. Because as long as I'm getting, like, 6 hours of sleep, I feel like I can function during the day, like, even if I can't take a nap. Usually if it's under 6 hours, I feel like I have to have a nap somewhere, but if I can get at least, 6 or 7, then I can function with just like caffeine, and stuff like that. But I just feel like if you're a person who has always depended on like a really good night's sleep, those are the people that say having a baby is really hard, because I feel like I know people personally who like get 8 to 10 hours of sleep every night and like they are bad at functioning if they don't. But like I don't know if it's bad, it's probably a bad thing, but my body's been conditioned for years now to run on no sleep, so it's kind of, it doesn't honestly feel any different. Like I'm tired now, I was tired 2 years ago, I was tired 10 years ago, it doesn't really matter. So
I'm pretty much the same, because it's like I can get a less sleep, and my only thing I struggle with is like when I first wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh God, like, I don't want to get out of bed.
I'm not even going to lie. He's a pain in the ass to try to get up out of the bed.
Yeah, like, but, like, once I get going, I'm, like, when I don't, like, I get probably, like, I don't know. I usually get, like, 7-6 hours of sleep. And when I get up in the mornings, I'm always, like, miserable. And I'm always thinking to myself, oh, when I go on my lunch break today, I'm taking a nap. But it's, like, by the time I get dressed and take a shower and get to work, I'm fine. Like, I have not once, like, been at work and been like still like super tired and like not able to function. Like
on the days that like I really pushed it for sleep, like I either couldn't sleep or she was fussy or I stayed up later, like, and I don't get a lot of sleep, I will drink an energy drink. Now I don't just sit here and drink energy drinks every single day. I usually have at least a cup of coffee or something, but honestly, like, having caffeine, just like, I mean, if you're a person who drinks a cup of caffeine in the mornings, like, just drink one and then maybe drink one in the afternoon and you'll be fine. Like, I know, I think it was Thursday, I got home and made a cup of coffee at like 4:30 and I just had that. And like, I still was able to go to bed. I mean, for someone who doesn't go to bed till 11, 4:30 is not that big of a deal to have a cup of coffee. Now, if you go to bed at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, then you might not want to have coffee that late in the day. But
I think a cup of coffee is like a placebo to me at this point. I don't think it actually wakes me up anymore.
I think so, too.
I think just in my head, I'm like, oh, it's coffee, and that makes me
what's really
awake.
What's really, honestly, pathetic and embarrassing is that I feel like, honestly, I already have placebos with, like, energy drinks, too. Like,
I do, too.
I don't think, I don't drink a Red Bull, and I'm, like, tapped out and wired and crazy. Like, I drink a Red Bull, and then, like, if I lay down in my bed long enough, I can still fall asleep after.
Yeah.
So, it's...
Same.
It is what it is.
I can drink one of those C4 energy drinks, and it doesn't even really do
a
lot to me.
I'll chug a Red Bull, and then be yawning 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
So,
I've drinking a Red Bull, and then taken a nap immediately after before.
I've also done that, which I kind of, like, look at that, and I'm like, why am I doing that? Like, take the nap, and then drink the Red Bull, maybe? I don't know. But, yeah, so, it just, you have to, like... You kind of honestly just have to make it work for your specific needs. Like, my need is not that I need sleep. Now, when I first came home from the hospital, I was going to bed, like, at 8 o'clock. And at the end of my pregnancy, I was going to bed at 8 o'clock. And that's because during those times, I was not functioning with less sleep. Like, I was feeling miserable during the day. But that was just hormonal. And, like, obviously postpartum, initially, you're, like, exhausted. So I think that you have to kind of know how you are and go off of that. So if you're a person who needs a lot of sleep, like, you're just gonna have to work with your partner, and if you don't have one, get a village of people, support system, family, whatever, friends that can help you. Because I know I was talking to someone at work the other day. I had Gemma with me, and I was kind of strutting her around to all the people that I see at work, and someone said, oh, Maya, we just had two great grandbabies born, like, right when your baby was born. And I think they have one in November and one in January. And they said that one of their, one of the parents, sets of parents has to, like, literally take shifts at night because their baby is just up all night long. And if you are not like us and you don't have an easy baby that sleeps pretty well during the night, because even during her sleep regression, she slept well during the night.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a baby that sleeps well during the night, you're going to have to just make it work for whatever you need to do, whether that's, like, you take the first 5 hours and then your partner takes the first 5 hours and then you both let each other take a 2-hour nap during the day or in the evening or whatever. Like, you're just going to have to make it work. But I honestly think that, like, I do know that sleeping is a lot to do with temperament, but we started her, like, gentle sleep training, honestly, at, like, 3 weeks old. And I think that that has made a huge difference in her sleep. So if you are someone who values sleep and values your baby going to sleep at a decent time, just take the energy and the time to work on their sleeping, because it will make it so much better in the long run. A lot of people don't agree with what we're doing with our daughter, like, as far as her sleeping in her own room and, like, sleeping away from us and sleeping, like, as well as she does and, like, always, you know, sleeping on her own. Like, she doesn't even really do contact naps with us. And that's just something we chose because we wanted her to be able to sleep well. That was something that we knew, like, we needed for us and our sanity and our relationship and all that. So you just have to prioritize what you think matters most to you. If getting sleep doesn't matter to you and you're more worried about, like, physical touch with your baby and you want to constantly be holding your baby, that's up to you. I mean, do whatever you want to do. It doesn't really matter. But as long as you're feeding your baby and loving it, then that's all that matters. So, but we've just, like I said, we've done our sleep techniques pretty much the same for the last 5 weeks consistently. And I think it's worked well for us. And like I was saying, the whole reason I was talking about temperament is because as much as it is temperament, I do think that babies thrive on a routine. And like even a baby who's not seeming like they might be able to be sleep trained, like if you try it and you're consistent with it, I think most babies can probably adapt, and they may not do it as well. They may wake up a few more times or like not be as easy to put down, but I do think that you can make it work if you are consistent enough.
I mean, Gemma definitely knows when it's nighttime and it's like time for her long sleep.
Yesterday, for example, she kind of was still on the very end of her sleep regression yesterday, which, okay, technically there's not a 2-month sleep regression. Technically the first one is supposed to come at 4 months, but it says babies can have them at 2 months. And when you look it up, like a 2-month sleep regression, it shows like an, you know, one of those Google AI overviews, like, oh, a 2-month sleep regression is this and this and this, and it talks about it. But when you look up sleep regressions, it says there's technically not one at this age, but she lines up with it pretty good because all the little descriptions of it are shorter naps, fussiness during the day, like whatever. Well, she's not really fussy. It's more of just like she's not content. Like she doesn't want to be sitting and she doesn't want to be laying down. She doesn't want to be doing this. Like she'll be happy. You just have to like, she's more needy, I guess, is mm-hmm. what I would say. And then she's also not sleeping for as long or going down as easily. But she was on the very end of that yesterday. But yesterday morning, she only slept for like 30 minutes. And then I had to go to the doctor. And then the whole time we were at the doctor. And then when I went to Walmart afterwards, she was awake the entire time. So she was awake for about 4 hours to 5 hours with only a 30-minute nap during that whole span for when we got up for the day to when we got home. And by the time I got home, she was pretty fussy, and so I fed her, and I put her down for a nap, and then she slept for 3.5 hours, and she hasn't taken a nap that long since she was, like, 2 weeks old. And so I was just like, whatever. I was texting Skylar. I'm like, I'm just going to let her sleep because clearly she needs it. Like, she hadn't been sleeping good the last 3 days, like, before that at all. So I let her sleep, and then at one point I texted Skylar, and I'm like, do I need to just, like, wake her up? Because she went to sleep at, like, 2, and it was, like, 5:30, and she was supposed to eat at 4. And it was 5:30, and I'm like, okay, well, hasn't eaten for 4.5 hours. Like, and I didn't want to, like, not feed her because basically with Gemma, we know that she's going to drink 5 big bottles during the day, and that's going to be enough to hold her over through the night. And so any night she hasn't drank the full 5 bottles, like, she'll either get up and want to eat earlier, or she'll be more fussy throughout the night, and we have to, like, feed her in the middle of the night. And so I was like, well, she technically needs 2 more bottles, and this was at 5:30, and she usually eats every 3 hours, so that would have been 5:30 and 8:30, and she's usually in bed by 9, so 5:30 is kind of like the latest we can do, like, her second to last bottle, and so I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna get her up. So I got her up at 5:30, and she had been asleep for so long, I just, like, fully checked out. I was video gaming with my friends before that, because she had been asleep for so long. And I was like, all right, y'all, I'm going to go wake up the baby. I was like, she's probably going to be awake for a while. So I'll see y'all, like, after I put her to bed later, basically, is what I said. And then she got up. I fed her. And then, like, on the hour, like, of her normal wake window, she was ready to go back to sleep. And I was surprised because I was like, I figured she wanted to be up late longer. But I put her back down because she was showing her sleepy cues and whatever. And then I was thinking, like, okay, like, she's probably gonna sleep bad during this nap because she's not that tired, or she's gonna sleep normally, but then she's gonna sleep like crap tonight because she slept so much, like, during the late part of the day. Well, she went to sleep for her normal 1.5, 2 hours. Skylar got home, woke her up, we fed her, and she was tired again by the time her wake window was up.
She was falling asleep while I was giving her the bottle still.
I know, and so we put her down, and so normally her wake windows are 1 hour. So, like, once she's been awake, she's almost always going to go back down to sleep after 1 hour, which she hadn't been doing the last 3 days before this. But last night I was kind of expecting her to do the same, and, like, she had slept for so long, I'm like, she's not going to want to go back to sleep. Both times she went back to sleep after 1 hour, and then when we got her up to go to bed, she was fussy. She was, like, not fussy, but she was, like, tired, like, normal. We gave her bath. We did her bedtime routine. And then, like, normally she's, like, kind of closing her eyes a little bit before we put her in the crib. And then she'll go to sleep once we leave the room. But she was wide awake when I went to put her in there just because, like, she had just had a little bit more of a bottle. So she kind of, like, woke back up. But we laid her down in there wide awake. We walked out. We closed the door. And she was asleep within 2 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
And she didn't used to do that. The first couple nights we had her in the crib, it took like 3 or 4 to 5 times of us going in there and giving her the pacifier before she'd really be knocked out. But now, I mean, you'll put her in there awake and she'll even keep her eyes open for a minute and then she'll just go to sleep on her own with no crying. So she knows, like, when she goes to bed, she knows she's going to bed. And when she's fussy sometimes, which I don't know if she's really registering this or not because she's so young, like, it might just be coincidental, but I mean, there's times when she's really fussy and I'll go to put her in the bassinet for her nap and she legit is, like, smiling. She's like, oh my God, like, I'm so happy to be going to sleep. Like, she literally likes going to sleep. And so I'll put her in the bassinet, I'll swaddle her up, and there's no crying at all. Like, people think a lot of the time sleep training is, like, crying it out, and it's really not. Like, she fussed the first few times we did all the things we've mentioned, but, like, we bedside comforted her. So, like, we go to the bassinet and soothe her and shush her and pat her chest and, like, rub her eyebrows. And, like, we don't want to just leave her hanging. Like, she feels like she is neglected. But, like, we assist her to sleep on her own. And she does it pretty well. And so now when she does cry, we know, like, she's hungry or she wants to wake up. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't just cry for no reason anymore.
Yeah, we've never let her, like, we've never let her cry or so.
Yeah, and even in the beginning, we never let her cry it out. Like, the first, like I said, the first few nights of us sleep training were us in there several times before she would actually fall asleep. And people always think sleep training means you have to let your baby cry, and like, that's not true. The only time she has ever really been in a situation where she has to cry for a little bit is if I'm in the car and she gets fussy and we're driving home, and obviously I can't pull the car over in the middle of the road and soothe her. Or if, like, for example, she wakes up for a nap while I'm in the shower or something. But, like, other than that, like, she always, we always go to her when she cries. Now, if she's doing this little thing where she's kind of, like, making noises, like, kind of grunting and, like, whining, we don't always go right in there because babies actually make a lot of noise in their sleep. It's like active sleeping, and babies make a lot of noise when they're sleeping. Even in a dead sleep, they'll make noises. Like, there was one night, she started kind of, like, doing this, like, little grunting thing, almost like she sounded like she was trying to poop, but she wasn't. But it was, like, in her dead sleep, and I got up out of the room and went into her crib, and, like, by the time I walked from my bed to her crib, which is, like, 10 steps, I got there, and she was already back asleep. Like, she was just laying there sleeping.
Mm-hmm. But we have also recently, we'll talk about her formula, because we've kind of gone through some adventures with that. We had her on our regular formula, like, when we got out of the hospital, we had her on, like, the Similac purple can, and then, for whatever reason, we can't, like, buy it anywhere. Like, yeah, it, like, hasn't been in stores.
We told y'all last week that we had to, we've been struggling, and we bought two different kinds, and we had told y'all she broke out into, like, a little rash from what it looked like, and she was kind of spitting up a little more, but we finally got her, you know, enhanced version of the kind she had before now, which is more expensive, but we have it now, and she is back on that, and she is regulating back to, like, normal again.
Mm-hmm.
Which we had did kind of hit, like, a phase for a couple days where she was spitting up more, but I think anytime you change their formula, they're gonna have to get used to it again, even if it was one they were on, just because she was off of it for, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks. So now it's like she's back on it, she's back adjusted, and I think honestly, like, I don't know if she has silent reflux or, like, straight-up acid reflux, or maybe she doesn't and just shows, like, little symptoms of it. But for Gemma, at least, like, we've pretty much consistently, since she was born, have to leave her sitting upright for, like, 20 minutes after she eats to help her not spit up. Like, we can't just eat and then go directly into, like, playtime on the floor or tummy time. Like, we have to leave her sitting up. And a lot of babies are like that. If you don't sit them up for a little bit after they eat, they will spit up. So we've kind of been more conscious about making sure we're doing that still, because I feel like for a while we kind of, like, let that slip when we were kind of just, like, letting her play and stuff after she ate, but now we're trying to kind of keep her upright more. So
now I think, like, overall at 8 weeks, I feel like me and Kaylee have honestly, like, we've been doing a pretty good job with everything mentally. I know Kaylee gets more frustrated sometimes because, you know, she does have to take care of Gemma pretty much all day. And I know when there's times where she's being difficult, like, won't take naps or won't, you know, just kind of a little bit fussy for long periods of time, it does start to wear on her. And I always feel bad because I'm like, especially, like, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday when I have to work late, like, and there is issues going on, like, Kaylee will be texting me being like, oh, like, this is so frustrating, like, she won't nap, or I can't, like, get her to chill out and all this stuff. And it's like, I feel bad because I'm like, I can't be there to help, which it's not like I'm, you know, I'm not doing that on purpose, I have to work. But I think overall, like, we've been doing good. I mean, we haven't really, like, gotten mad at each other or, like, anything like that. And then I always make sure when I get home, I take over baby responsibilities, which it is funny because for a while, like, early on, and maybe, like, a little bit before we had her, like, I was afraid of that because I was like, man, like, I'm gonna have to work all day and then get home and take care of her, and that's just, like, a lot. But I don't know, in my head it's like, not like, as Kaylee said to me, she's like, I'll get home, and I'm like, oh, I'll take care of her, like, you go do what you want, like, I'll take over for now. And she'll be like, oh, but I feel bad because you've been working all day. But it really isn't the same, like, I've learned in my head, like, I don't look at getting home and taking care of Gemma and spending time with her as, like, more work. Like, it's different to me, so, like, I don't really mind it. Like, I'm completely fine coming home and watching TV and, like, holding her and playing with her a little bit. Like, it just doesn't really bother me like that, so that's been good. Like,
I feel like that's, like, a rare occurrence. Like, I think that just means you're a good dad, because a lot of people, like, I think do have the mindset of like, oh, well, I just worked all day and like you've been chilling out with her. Like, and this is more when I was like postpartum and originally before I went back to work. But I feel like a lot of dad and men have the mindset of like, oh, well, I've been at work all day. Like, I'm not going to come home and do more work. And like they view it as work. And I feel like that just honestly is like, I think it depends on like your state of mind as a parent. Like, do you look at your child as work or do you look at your child as something you want to spend time with? And I feel like that trying to reframe your mind is like a lot of it too.
I still think it's like, I mean, honestly, it's still relaxing to me to come home and like watch something and take care of her. Like, it doesn't like bother me. Now, like, maybe it also helps that she's a good baby. Like, maybe if I was coming home and she was just like screaming at me the whole time for no reason, then it might get a little old.
She doesn't really ever scream. She screamed at me, what was it, last night or the night before?
I think it was the night before.
She was pissed because she's been sounding kind of congested. And so I called her pediatrician because it sounded like, it doesn't sound like she can't breathe. It just like, you can straight up hear like the snot rattling in the back of her throat and her nose when she breathes sometimes. And it's not causing her to not be able to breathe, but I was like, what do I do about this? And so she told me to try saline drops and like using like the little nose sucker to like suction the stuff out of her nose, which we do that pretty often. But sometimes like this one was back there. I mean, I couldn't get it with the suction thing because I feel like it was so far back in like her sinuses. And so they told me to do saline drops. I put those saline drops in her nose. She screamed like bloody murder. I've never seen her scream so loud. She was screaming so crazy that she was not letting herself take in air. Like, she was screaming so intense. And it was like so screaming that it would get silent for a minute and she'd just be sitting there like red and like with her tongue sticking out and like shaking. And I was like, I kept going like, girl, chill. Like, I was picking her up and I was like holding her. And then she finally like settled back down. But like, I had her up on my chest for like, and she was butt naked too, of course, because I had the bath water running at the time. And so I was holding her and covering her. I was like, please don't pee on me. Please don't pee on me. And so I was just holding her and she finally calmed down. Well, then I went to lay her on the changing pad to go like put her little bathtub in the bath. And she immediately started screaming as soon as I put her down. So it really upset her and she was not happy. But that's the only time she really ever like screams like that, as if like she's getting her nose sucked or something like that, which doesn't happen very often. Usually when she gets her nose sucked anyway, she doesn't cry like that. Usually it's more of just like her little whiny.
And then like a lot of times, like mainly on weekends, like I'll be home and sometimes like we'll put her down for a nap, and obviously like sometimes, like, you know, during naps, like we do have to cut, so sometimes she gets a little active and we have to give her a pacifier or whatever, but like I'll just tell Kaylee, I'm like, you go, you know, do what you want to do in another room. And I was like, sometimes I'll just lay on the couch and I'll nap when she naps, like we'll just nap next to each other.
Yeah, but I feel bad doing that. You say like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna take a nap, like I'll watch her, I'll take a nap. I'm like, but like, don't you want to not watch her while you take a nap? Because like, I know like when I was postpartum and I was napping, like I wanted to be like not having to worry about her. And I feel like, how does it not defeat the purpose of you trying to nap if you're also watching her?
I don't really worry about her. I just like, I'll wake up if she gets, if she starts making noises, it wakes me up, but like it doesn't really bother me. And plus, she usually, I mean, most of the time when I do that, she sleeps good too. We both just get our little naps in.
Yeah. But I think that's pretty much all we have. We will be going to the doctor this week, so we'll update on that next time. I think she has to get shots when she goes, so she's going to be sad.
But,
and I've heard when babies get shots, they can be a little fussy or like really extra tired or really extra not tired for a couple days. So we'll see what happens this week.
It's a gamble.
Yeah, we'll see.
But thanks for listening, and we will see y'all again next week.
Bye.
Bye.